What's up, Aggie Radio? You're listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders here on KBLU 92.3. You got me here with...
Logan Jones. I'm usually on Thursday mornings, but thanks for having me on a Tuesday night. This is new for me.
Yeah, no problem. Mason is on his honeymoon, and Ethan is out of the state, so...
That's right. Ethan's down at Vegas Media Days, right?
Right.
He's
right,
down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So he'll have some important stuff for us when we get him back.
Yeah. Hopefully. So, today we're gonna do something pretty easy. We're just gonna go through NFL.com's top 100. We're just gonna look at the top 20. Go over, you know, where we think they should be. If we agree. If we disagree. And just for anyone who doesn't know, the top 100 for NFL.com is voted on by players. It's not by experts or anything. It's just by the players who the players think is the best in the league. So, yeah. So starting out, number 20 is Richard Sherman. And I think you have more strong feelings on this than I do.
I do. And it's not that I don't believe that Richard Sherman is not one of the 20 best players in the NFL. It's that his teammate Earl Thomas, who makes everything in that secondary possible, is ranked 66th.
Right.
So he still got in the top 100, but he should be much closer to Richard Sherman's ranking than he is. In fact, my personal favorite player in the league, Cam Chancellor, is like 32. Cam probably doesn't deserve that spot.
Okay.
He probably doesn't. Should probably swap, actually.
All right.
But Sherman is at number 20. That's not a bad call.
Okay. I agree. As a Rams fan, I hate going against Seahawks because we've always had abysmal quarterbacks. So going against Sherman, you always have to be scared of him. And seeing how we have terrible quarterbacks, we're always giving them an opportunity to just make big plays. So,
yeah.
So pretty easy.
Far, so good.
Yeah.
We're one in.
Yeah. How about DeAndre Hopkins, number 19?
I love DeAndre Hopkins. He's the type of guy this list is made for. He's a freak athlete. I mean, why not? Honestly, you could make the argument for several other wide receivers in this same spot.
Right.
But there's no team in the league that wouldn't want him.
Oh, yeah. He's so good.
Yeah, he's got great hands. He's never really had a great quarterback throw to him.
No.
So he doesn't have the star power of, like, Dez Bryant or, like, ODB, who I'm sure we're going to get to later.
Right.
But, like, he's been good regardless, which I think is actually impressive.
Exactly.
So I think he's... So far, so good.
Yeah, that's why I think he deserves a spot because, I mean, last year, I think he was, like, top three in yards or catches or something. He was that high with Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, Brandon Whedon, and some other quarterback I don't remember the name of.
Yeah.
So, like...
That's telling.
Four quarterbacks that are not great quarterbacks, and he still puts up huge numbers on a team that had almost no defense once Aaron Foster went down.
He was my fantasy saving grace last year.
Oh, yeah. Accidentally gave up DeAndre Hopkins and it wrecked me.
Ah.
So, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, great player. Love watching him. He's so explosive. Always just great hands.
I don't watch a lot of Texans games, obviously, but I see his stats because of fantasy. And you should never judge a player's worth on fantasy points. But I'm actually gonna do that right now. But you shouldn't do it. Like,
I feel like that's how I'd make most of my decisions, mostly because I'm so into fantasy that I only see the players on how well they can do in fantasy. It's like these defensive players we're gonna look at. I'm like, yeah, I know Patrick Peterson, but I'm more like, how did the Cardinals D do overall?
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, I love DeAndre Hopkins. He's a great player, man.
So speaking of Patrick Peterson, he's number 18.
Yes.
Considering that they ask a bunch of NFL players to vote on this list, and Peterson and Sherman ended up almost, like, I mean, basically the same.
Right.
They're separated by two spots out of all the players in the league. So they're held in about the same esteem, which I think is accurate.
Yeah.
Even as a homer Seahawks guy, I would probably put Peterson. This is like the top 100 players of, like, 2016, so I'm thinking, like, projecting into next season.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument either way, so I'm not going to... That's not the fight I'm going to pick today. That's coming.
Okay.
But
okay.
Peterson, I'm fine with.
Peterson... And the thing that I love about Peterson is that they always put him against, like, the biggest threat. Peterson doesn't play these, like, scrub players. He's always going against the biggest threats and is making big plays anyways. He looked really good against Antonio Brown last year. I'm not surprised to see him in the top 20, and I think he deserves it. He's really good. In that, speaking of another player I hate playing against as a Rams fan, Not that we have any star wide receivers that he has to cover. So he can just cover whoever and just make us look terrible.
Don't you sell Tavon Austin short like that.
Okay. Tavon Austin is awesome. However, I think he's more of a threat on the ground than he is in the air, which is telling. So I love Tavon Austin. Tavon Austin's one of my favorite players, but he's still a Ram, and I still have to be realistic.
You're the best kind of Rams
fan,
then.
If he was in any other team, he'd be their mediocre player. He's going to make some plays here and there, but he's not like the star player in almost any other team in the NFL. So, yeah. I just got to be reasonable. Speaking of the Seahawks, Russell Wilson,
Number 17, Russell Wilson. I'm happy with it just because 2 years ago, most people wouldn't even have him on the list because he's a black quarterback and people don't like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
At least now people are like, oh, well, I mean, he also, he does throw the ball pretty well, doesn't he? Like, after several seasons and a Super Bowl of proving that he's one of the NFL's best. I think you could even argue he could be higher, but as a Seahawks fan, I'm just happy to take what I can get at this point.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I want to put him higher, but looking at most of these players ahead of him, I'm like, I don't want to put him ahead of these players. So I think 17 is a pretty good spot for him. Yeah, you could put him a couple spots more, but
maybe a better Seahawks homer would be like, Russell Wilson's one of the best five players in the league. I think he's one of the most irreplaceable players in the league.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, I think he's should be happy to be one of the 20 best.
And he's very consistent as well, which is why.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that one either. We're a couple. I'm gonna let loose on a couple here pretty soon, but Russell Wilson at 17 is also not where I will not die on that hill.
Okay. All right, and then number 16, AJ Green of the Bengals. How do you feel about that one?
I don't think he will crack the top 30 next year.
I didn't think he was gonna top the top 30 last year. Yes, he has Andy Dalton, but
the Bengals. Like, they should be right back in, like, the playoff race.
Right.
In the mix.
Yeah.
But I think Andy Dalton does not have as good a year this year.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a stretch, because he had his career best year last year. I think that's going to impact Green and his numbers and the way other NFL players see him, because they pay attention to that sort of thing.
Yeah. The thing I will say about AJ Green is he is so good at getting those 2 feet in. Like, if he's anywhere near that line, he'll get his feet in somehow. It's like you're watching him. You're like, okay, there's no way. Oh no, he made that catch. What the heck? How did he? Yeah, he's amazing.
So we're grading everybody in the top 20 list right now on like an MVP scale.
Right.
Like, nobody's arguing that these players aren't incredibly valuable. No one's like, oh, that guy actually sucks, and nobody knows. AJ Green's incredible, but as far as his spot out of all the players in the league, ahead of a lot of other wide receivers, I think. I get that he got his due after having a good year with the Bengals last year, but I think looking ahead into this season, he is not one of the 16 best football players that I would pick out of a lineup.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that I looked at and I was like, I don't think I'd have put him at 16. Like, he's, again, not taking anything away. He's a great player. He used to be one of the best wide receivers, but he's on a decline.
But if anyone, if anyone wanted to argue us on that point, I would have to back down and be like, okay, you're right. AJ Green's a stud.
He's so good, but is he 16 better than a few of these wide receivers that are at 25? Probably, actually. I think I put him ahead of Larry Fitzgerald and Brandon Marshall. Allen Robinson looks really good. He's at 31, but I don't know. I think the argument could go either way. I don't think anybody says, no, he deserves to be ahead of 16, but I think the argument could
I do love, way. Like, the ongoing rumor in the NFL that some players think he's soft.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody in the NFL can be soft.
Right, yeah.
But I love that that's something that gets said around, I love that that's like an enduring rumor, because there's probably no truth to it, but every time it comes up, it's like funny.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then Von Miller at number 15. Just love watching him play.
I'm not even a Broncos fan. I don't like the Broncos.
Oh,
I
dislike the Broncos.
I kind of dislike the Broncos. Right. But you're going to put the most last year's most important player at number 15 on this. You're saying that there's 14 other players you would rather, like, if you drafted a team, there are 14 other guys you would take before Von Miller.
Right. Like, that was
terrible
my thing,
call.
Is I was looking, I was in the top 10. I was like, okay, Kukli, so I'm going to.
Maybe they vote on these, like, Josh in Norman. November.
That would make sense, honestly. Like, because, I mean, the player that won you the Super Bowl and looked consistently amazing throughout the year.
Well, he got him through the regular season with a gimpy quarterback.
They had
I know his name is Peyton Manning, but they had nobody throwing the ball. They won on the back of their defense every game.
They proved that the defense can win championships.
They got them to the playoffs. And then in the playoffs, probably the only team that could have beat the Patriots the way they did, he was the battering ram.
Right.
Like, other defensive players made plays, but Von Miller was the guy that destroyed Tom Brady's world.
Oh.
He's the reason that they were even in the Super Bowl. And then as pretty much underdogs across the board, nobody was really picking Denver because they're like, look, Cam Newton, second best defense in the league, first defense in the league. Like, we're gonna take the team with a good defense and a good offense.
Right, yeah.
It didn't matter. Von Miller shattered everybody's hopes and dreams.
Von Miller's like, no, we're just much better on defense.
And he was MVP, and he just made all the money in the offseason, and he deserved it. There's no way he's not a top five.
I think I agree with you. Because I have a few in the top five that I disagree with.
I think Von Miller should have been a lock for the top five.
Yeah. At least top 10. At least if you're like, even if you're just voting like when playoffs start, if you're not looking at him as a top 10 player, there's a reason they won the Super Bowl.
Well, and especially the two guys that are coming up next on the list is just like, okay, they're younger, they're less proven, they haven't been paid yet. So they don't have the star power.
I agree. As a Rams fan, I agree. So, yeah, Von Miller should have been higher. He's so good. I have a friend that's a Broncos fan, and I was ripping her all year I love how Peyton Manning just goes down, and every week I'm like, there's no way the Broncos win this week. Oh, their defense won him another game.
And when it mattered most, he was the biggest player in the biggest game.
Yeah.
And the number one guy on this list was not. And I don't know how those can be separated by 15 spots.
I want to hate Von Miller because how much I hate the Broncos, but he's just that good that you have to be like, I respect him so much.
My older brother lives in Brooklyn, and he sent me a text like a week after the Super Bowl, and he was like, I'm pretty sure I just passed Von Miller like on the street, like in just like downtown New York City. And he was wearing his like Super Bowl MVP jersey.
Right.
And at first he was going to like judge him for it. But then he's like, you know, if there's any guy on the planet Earth that deserves to walk around in like his jersey in the off season,
it's Von Miller.
It's Von Miller.
Right. Yeah.
So there you go, Broncos fans that are tuning in. We just gave 5 minutes to your boy.
Yeah.
So.
And then next, Aaron Donald. I love Aaron Donald. I'm a Rams fan. I love that a defensive player from the Rams broke the top 20. I don't think he's better than Von Miller. I love him, and he's going to be so good in the next few years. But, yeah, he's young.
Maybe it's not fair to base this off of his team versus Von Miller, who just won the Super Bowl. But just because Von Miller's body of work is more impressive, I would, like, I don't know how you can rank Aaron Donald above him. But Aaron Donald wrecks the Seahawks every year.
Oh, yeah. He wrecks everybody. He's so quick. He just beats them off the line every time.
He's great. He's going to get paid big-time bucks here in the next year.
Yeah.
Next year he's finally going to get paid. Yeah. And then all of a sudden his name's going to be out there. He's going to be one of the top paid guys. Everyone's going to pay attention to him and realize, oh, yeah, this guy's been terrorizing the NFC West for like 3 years now.
Yeah. He will be that player in a few years. But, yeah, it's his second year in the league, and he's tearing it up. But number 14 on the list ahead of Von Miller, I don't know about that one. But, yeah, I love him so much. He just makes me so happy to see a Rams player in the top 20 because we've been so horrid for almost 20 years. Or 15 years, sorry. I can't overestimate but still. But, I mean, you compare these two players. The Rams, the only thing they have going for them is their defense and Todd Gurley. The only thing the Broncos had going for them was their defense and a couple of their wide receivers. Emmanuel Sanders is pretty good. Demaryius Thomas is pretty good.
Emmanuel Sanders is my fantasy crush, but, like, They had no quarterback last year.
Oh, yeah. No, he looked like a retired player came back 5 years later because he needed a record.
The cliff is steep. We're going to talk about this when we get to Carson Palmer.
Okay.
The cliff where, like, quarterbacks don't slowly get, like, year after year, like, oh, they didn't quite put up the numbers they did last year. He's starting to fade. They hit the wall, and then it's over.
Yeah.
The talent level in the NFL is that high that, like, any regression at all is just, like, you just, that's why RG3 went from, like, dual threat phenom to, like, you take away that one aspect of his game, all of a sudden he's like, you don't even deserve to be in the league anymore.
No, he's going to be a franchise quarterback next year.
I mean, he will at the Browns, but that's because it's Browns.
Yeah. Like, the Browns are putting all of their hopes in RG3, and I don't think it's going to work out for him. But, you
honestly,
know, best of luck to them.
I hope week 5, when Josh Gordon comes back from his drug suspension, that he and RG3 hook up for, like, 4 touchdowns, and they beat the Patriots.
That'd be sick.
And then the Browns hype just explodes. And then nothing comes of it because Browns.
And then the next week they just get rolled. But, yeah.
Similarly, so Von Miller's at 15, Aaron Donald's at 14, Khalil Mack is at 13. Khalil Mack is basically just next year's Von Miller.
Right.
Again, we're sensing a theme with these players. They're the dominant pass rusher, mess up the quarterback. Kind of, it's really the only position defensively that you could argue, like you can take over a game as one player and make the difference in the game as one player.
I think the argument could be that at that position throughout the game you can make a difference, but cornerbacks are where they're going to flip the game upside down. Pick six.
As guilty as it makes me feel as a fan of a team that wants to just run and pound and grind, I love the big flashy plays. I love interceptions. But that's watching the last year's playoffs, you could tell, like, all of a sudden defensive end is like the position for long. Wide receiver was the position,
yeah.
And then there was like this golden era 2012 to 2015 where cornerbacks were all of a sudden like, it's all about getting a star cornerback. That's what you need.
You just hear Josh Norman and Richard Sherman.
Yeah, we'll get to them. but now all of a sudden it's like you need an anchor who's gonna keep quarterbacks from doing what they do best, because quarterbacks are getting so good.
Yeah.
And so these players all in a row, like, I think Khalil Mack is in the one of the 20 best players in the league. I probably wouldn't put him that high, but he's great. I'm not going to argue like a couple spots. He probably deserves to be there.
I think, so 13 and 14, you can move them around a little bit, but I think Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald are right around there.
Yeah. I would put Von Miller ahead of both of them.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Like
even if you're like, okay, we don't want this we don't want Von Miller in the top 10. I don't see how you're like, oh yeah, Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack, let's put him ahead of Von Miller, who just took over the whole season last year.
I mean, players voted on these, so maybe they're just, again, maybe they voted on him earlier in the season than we think, or they just wanted those guys. Like, those guys, Mack and Donald, don't get their due because they're not on great teams. And maybe they were feeling like, hey, like, they are good. Nobody seems to notice. Players always like to give shout-outs to players that, like, they think get overlooked.
That's fair. Maybe they're like, dude, nobody's noticing Aaron Donald yet. They just want to throw him in there. And then they're like, oh, shoot, we still haven't put Von Miller in there. Yeah.
Similarly, I think players buy into media narratives as much as fans do. I don't know why there's this myth that players, like, don't buy into that. Because at number 12, for the 100 best NFL players in 2016, number 12 is Carson Palmer.
Listen, I loved Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was really good. But now he's just, he gets hit once by one of our defensive players and he goes down for the rest of the game.
I don't think anybody realized, like, people talk about his playoff, like, his playing in the playoffs and like, oh, like, he kind of fell off in the playoffs. Maybe it was just great defenses he was playing against. Maybe it was just the defensive scheming, but, like, they got to him, he couldn't overcome it. It's not that. He played great teams the whole regular season. And he played at a borderline MVP caliber for the first 12 weeks.
Sure.
And then it wasn't the playoffs where he fell off. It was about 4 or 5 weeks before the end of the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
They got crushed by the Seahawks. They struggled in games that they were winning easily earlier in the year. They made it to the playoffs and had a classic against Green Bay. Carson Palmer played terrible in that game. No one seems to remember. He had a touchdown pass bounce off of a Green Bay defender's hands and into the waiting arms of Michael Floyd. Like, and they scored a touchdown that way. And then in
that
the overtime, they dumped it to Fitzgerald, and Fitzgerald just made magic happen.
Oh my gosh,
because Fitzmagic is one of my favorite players in the league. And it was not Palmer had a bad game. He had a bad quarter of his season leading up to the playoffs. He's getting old. I don't know if it's defensive scheming as much as it is the pressure was getting to him. I think the age is getting to him. And we just talked about the cliff, right? The quarterback cliff.
he's good until he starts to get more and more tired, and then he just goes down and down and down. I think that's what it is. I think at the beginning of the season, he has all this energy after the off season, and then all of a sudden, you realize, like, oh, I can't play like I used to. I'm tired. I hurt. Yeah. Let's limp into the playoffs and hope we can upset some people.
Yeah, I hesitate to take anybody. Like, Arizona on paper looks like Super Bowl winners probably this year.
Sure.
Their defense is one of the premier defenses in the league, and their offense has so many weapons, and David Johnson's emergence is like, well, how are they going to ever lose a game?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that about a lot of teams that turned out to really struggle the next year. The Seahawks were 5-5 this last year. Remember when they picked up Jimmy Graham and everyone was like, crap, like, what are we going to do now? They have Jimmy Graham. They were 2-4 and then 5-5 and then had to like battle their way into the playoffs. Like, it doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to.
I was one of the ones that wasn't super on the Jimmy Graham hype train. I actually thought he was going to be mostly like a blocking tight end for most of the season. Yeah.
I just figured, hey, we got someone tall for Russell to throw to. That's, can't go wrong.
That's fair. Yeah.
I think Palmer started his drop off last year, and after the first few games of this season, we're going to see either injury struggles or just not great play from a guy who just had his best year ever. He's not going to improve on it, and I don't think he's even going to match it.
No, I'm not going to go as far as to say we'll see Peyton Manning levels of dropping quite yet, but he will not be spectacular next year. Do not pick him up in your even first six rounds of your fantasy football.
They'll win a lot of games. They're offensively, defensively still great.
They're stacked, but it's not going to be on the back of Carson Palmer.
I mean, are there any other quarterbacks besides Brady and Cam ahead of – yeah, so – so he's the third highest.
No, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay. He's the fourth highest ranked quarterback in the league this coming year. I don't think he's going to be that.
No.
So.
No, he will not. And then speaking of defensive players, Josh Norman.
Terrible. Worst ranking of the top 20.
Worst ranking of the top 20.
Worst rank. I think the most overrated player, I think, of the top 20.
Okay. Actually, looking at the list, you're probably right. I don't know who else is that overrated.
I think the Redskins as a team who signed Oda, like they signed him to the big Josh Norman to the big contract this summer.
Right.
I think as a team the Redskins are gonna regress big time anyway. They play a brutal schedule this year.
Yeah.
And they outplayed their talent last year. And I don't think that's gonna happen again. But there's a reason that a contender team like Carolina let their star, I'm putting this in quotes, the star cornerback go and hit the free agency market. You don't let a guy like Richard Sherman or Patrick Peterson ever hit free agency.
Luke Kuechly?
Yeah. You lock him down, he's yours forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carolina was smart, and they said, we're not going to pay you that money because we know you're not that guy.
Yeah. Again, Josh Norman is a pretty good player. Top 11?
No.
No.
He should be on the top 100 list.
Yeah.
But holy cow, I wouldn't put him in the top 25 even. I
think it was, again, this media hype of, oh, Josh Norman's just making these huge plays for Carolina. And he's good, don't get me wrong.
He benefited from a lot of other good players in the secondary. He benefited a lot from his feud week with Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
And Odell Beckham's just a media darling, so we had to make Josh Norman like his heel.
Oh yeah, Odell Beckham Jr., everybody loves him.
So I don't even want to love him, and I do.
But
Josh Norman, like, his beef with him, I don't know. He's really good. I'm not even saying he's not great, but you're putting him ahead of guys like Von Miller, who just won a Super Bowl for his team. You're putting him ahead of guys like even Richard Sherman and Patrick Peterson, who honestly I think most GMs and coaches around the league, if they voted, would rather have those guys.
Oh yeah,
than Norman.
I would way rather have Patrick Peterson than Josh Norman.
Josh Norman's never going to hurt your team. He might if you pay him $20 million a year and you're the Redskins and don't really have a lot else going on in your defense.
I think it was more of this, Carolina's defense helped them get to the Super Bowl. Who is there? Luke Kuechly. Okay, well, who else? Well, they had Josh Norman, I guess. Well, yeah. Let's throw him up there.
Yeah, he played great. Yeah. He's not worth that amount of money. He's not ahead of Peterson or Sherman.
Nope.
There's a reason that a smart contending team looking to build like a Super Bowl type team for the next 4 or 5 years didn't keep him.
Right.
Yeah. You don't let that happen to a top 11 player.
No, he could be. I'm looking. Maybe top 40, maybe. on par with like Aqib Talib.
This time next year, I don't even know if we're gonna mention his name when we do this.
Oh no, he's gonna be one of those because he wasn't ranked last year, and he won't be ranked very high next year.
Whether it's fair or not, like how well the team does matters. Like it adds to your star power, like your aura. Like Von Miller's can do no wrong because he won the Super Bowl. Josh Norman at the Redskins next year, if they go 8-8 and don't even touch the playoffs, who's even going to be talking about him?
Nobody. It's like how a few of these players who are really good just didn't show up or got injured. Like Jamal Charles at 75 is only because he got injured.
Yeah.
Like, did he deserve to be a top 20? Probably not, especially towards the end of the season.
Here's the best example I can think of in my Seahawks mind, right? Okay. I would rather have Earl Thomas on my team than Josh Norman.
Right.
That's not a trade I would ever make. Like, oh, you could have Josh Norman and Richard Sherman both in your secondary, but you'd have to give up Earl Thomas. I would never do that. Earl Thomas was 66 on this list. Norman's 11. Like, never.
Yeah, you're too high. Especially with Von Miller at 15. It's just disgusting too to high. See Josh Norman ahead of him. Von Miller's like the leader of his defense and looked so good. And then Josh Norman, yeah, he had some explosive plays, but 11?
I'm convinced players voted on him because, like we said earlier, like sometimes players, I think, buy into hype and narratives in the media. And there's a reason that he and Odell Beckham Jr. landed side by side on the list. And I think everybody saw both their names and were like, oh, yeah, those guys can play.
Oh, yeah.
The difference is Odell Beckham at number 10 deserves to be there.
Of course. And let's just go straight into their Odell Beckham Jr. at number 10. We're going into his third season.
Yes.
And he looks like one of the best wide receivers.
He's had probably the best first two seasons a receiver's ever had.
Yeah, arguably ever, yeah.
I've never gotten a jersey for a team not my own. But someday, if he ever retired, like, a lifelong Giant and, like, won the Giants, like, a Super Bowl or something, like, I would consider it.
Yeah,
that's how much I like him.
Speaking of hands, earlier with A.J. Green, Odell Beckham Jr. catches anything that hits him in the hands. There's catches last year where you look at it and you look away because you're like, oh, there's no way he catches that. And he somehow dove and, like, does the incredible one-handed catch and just pulls it in and gets you the yards as a touchdown.
The catch got him a lot of attention, but I remember a few weeks before that, Seattle played against him, and Richard Sherman was like, that guy's for real. And he was like a rookie, and he's going against Sherman during Sherman's, like, either his banner year or the year right after the Super Bowl year.
Right.
Was like, that guy's, like, watch out. Like, that guy's for real. And, like, Seahawks bloggers talked about it. Like, he's giving him props. Like, they battled all game. Like, Odell Beckham got the best of him a couple times. Watch out for him. And then, like, 2 weeks later, the catch happened.
Right.
It's like, okay, it was one catch, but it was probably the greatest catch I'll ever see.
Yeah, that is. I can't remember any other catch I've seen that's sicker than that. Just
and it's
lean back.
And it's nice that he can back it up. Like, it wasn't just a freak thing. He does this stuff all the time.
Yeah, and he's consistently a good wide receiver. He has all of these, like, freak crazy catches, and then he also has these, like, normal catches that you expect from a star wide receiver.
He's good.
Like he's just pulling these incredible plays and then you're just on a hype train to 10. No, he's a good wide receiver. It also has these star plays.
He does the crisp route running and everything you'd want a guy, top tier guy, to do. But, like, he's got that little something extra that, like, we're in the top 10 guys in the NFL now, so every single one of these guys needs to be able to single-handedly win you a game, like a big game.
And Odell Beckham
Jr. And he can totally do that.
Yeah, he's done that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Rob Gronkowski at number 9, which
it's tough to argue.
Yeah, for it's a tight end is incredible, but it's really hard to argue. He's so big and just catches anything that comes to him.
He's the J.J. Watt of tight ends. Like,
yeah,
there's really only one of him.
Well, J.J. Watt's the J.J. Watt of tight ends, but
right, like, like I can't even describe, like, everybody in the league could use Gronk at his current age and shape after all the injuries and everything. Like, they could incorporate him into their offense and instantly be better than where they are now.
Yeah, always. He's that good, which I think if you're a top 10 player, it probably should be said regardless.
He's a unique weapon, and it sucks that the Patriots have him.
Yes, very much. It sucks that the Patriots have two of the top 10, whether or not they deserve it.
He's such a good player that a team with several all-pro caliber guys kind of relied on him to stay healthy in order to make the playoffs and make a Super Bowl push. I remember when he went down with like his knee thing and he missed like a week, Bill Simmons was tweeting and was like, "That's if he's done, that's the season."
Yeah.
And this is a team with Tom Brady and Julian Edelman and like Devin McCourty and all their defensive stars.
Yeah.
And Gronk is the guy where it's like, if he gets hurt and he's out for the season, that might be it for the Patriots.
And I don't think there's any other tight end in the league that has even close to that amount of...
Jimmy Graham's probably the next most talented offensive tight end. He went down, the Seahawks just kept chugging.
Yeah. So. Especially a couple years ago when he was still in the Saints. He was the same thing for the Saints, but just not on the same caliber. But you're the Saints, so he's one of two offensive threats. So, yeah. I don't think there's much to say about Ron Gronkowski.
No, I wouldn't put him higher. I wouldn't put him lower.
Yeah, he's
that
right
one. I think they got right.
Well, it's funny. So last year's rank, he was 10, and then this year's rank, he's 9. And
everyone just agrees. That's about where.
Yeah. And then so number 8 is Julio Jones. Incredible wide receiver.
Talent wise, I think he does deserve consideration for like one of the 10 best athletes in the NFL. Like, take your top 10 most athletic people. Like, Julio is probably on some people's lists and not on others.
Uh-huh.
So it is a little high for me.
Okay.
But I also am impressed that he got there without being on, like, a really good team.
Right.
Like, everyone still respects him.
Matt Ryan isn't a terrible quarterback.
No.
But he doesn't have a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, a Cam Newton, even a Russell Wilson to make him look this good. He looks incredible every week with Matt Ryan. So, yeah. I think you could argue whether he should maybe go down a little bit, but I think he's definitely top 20 for me.
Receivers are tough because you could switch Julio and AJ Green and have and like make a case for yourself.
Sure.
Like you could back it up with stats. Be like, here's why I think this. It's tough to figure out receivers in the right order and then put them on a list with every other position in the NFL and put them in the right order. 8 seems high. It doesn't seem like there are only 7 better players in the NFL than Julio Jones.
Yeah. Julio Jones wrecked me in fantasy football last year.
He is great in fantasy.
But.
He is great in fantasy.
As far as,
Roddy White?
Oh, man.
Not great in fantasy.
I had a friend who, like, bought into the Roddy White train early on in the season, and I laughed at him for the rest of the season.
It's too bad.
But he also picked up Antonio Brown, so he wasn't hurting too hard at wide receiver.
Man, he got... Roddy in it. Yeah, if that would have worked out for him, that would have been deadly. But
I think he had the number one pick. So he I think he actually picked Brown number one and then Roddy 11 or whatever. But, yeah, disgusting. But Julio Jones, again, one of these players, I'm like, you're really good.
So enjoy your stay in the top 10, but don't be surprised next season if you're 35. Nah, not that low. He's not going to be 35, but like 30. Top 30.
I think that's just the thing with wide receivers. If you have like this explosive season, everyone's going to be talking about you, especially fantasy football people. And then people are going to be like, oh, yeah, Julio Jones.
Unless you're a Seahawks receiver. And then everyone will be like, that's never going to happen again.
Oh, no. Baldwin? Nope. Fluke.
You want your fantasy tip of the week? You walking by the booth right now? You want your fantasy football tip? Tyler Lockett. Pick him up. Late rounds. Pick him up. Just saying. That's. If somebody listens to the show and picks him up and wins their league because of it, I want to hear about it.
All right.
Tweet at Aggie Radio.
And then our second to last defensive player, Luke Kuechly at number 7.
Yeah. He's the key cog in a defense that you can argue is the league's best. I personally wouldn't, but you can argue it.
Yeah.
He is the guy that makes all that happen. You take... It's like taking Russell Wilson out of the Seahawks offense. There's no other good quarterback that can make up for the little something that Russell adds. There's no other good middle linebacker that can completely cover everything Luke does for that defense.
The thing that Luke does that just makes me so excited to watch him is he's so good at reading plays. You'll see them call an audible, and he'll call an audible to like combat that audible. Or like... I've seen plays where he's like, okay, they're going outside, and all of a sudden they're running outside, and he makes a 5-yard loss.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's a great athletic player as well, and he's the leader of their defense.
So skill-wise, he does everything you want him to do. Mentality-wise, you're right, he's a smart guy. And just, like we said, everybody in the top 10 better be able to, like single-handedly be like, I'm going to win us this game. And I feel like Luke could be that guy where a team could be mounting a 2-minute drive at the end of the game to try and tie it up, and then Luke might just wreck their dreams.
Yeah,
that could absolutely happen.
I'm pretty sure there's at least 5 teams last year that are like, oh, Kukli ruined our dreams.
See, for the Seahawks, it was Greg Olsen. But
yeah, oh, Greg Olsen. So, yeah, Greg Olsen. Oh, man. Anyways, I don't want to talk about that. Anyways, greed number 7, Luke Kukli, really good player. Number 6, Aaron Rodgers.
Obviously, I'm no lover of Green Bay players, but Aaron Rodgers outside the top 3 is a little weird.
It's a little weird. I agree. However, I think how the Packers' offense is, if you took out Aaron Rodgers and put in even like an Andy Dalton of last year at least, or Carson Palmer maybe, probably not, or Russell Wilson for sure, put in some of these other, Ben Roethlisberger probably, their offense is probably close to as explosive. I love Aaron Rodgers, but
fair.
I feel like their offense is stacked enough with Randall Cobb. Jordy Nelson's coming back next year.
Fair. Jordy Nelson's also a fantasy crush of mine. Everybody always goes for like Dez and Odell Beckham, and I always try to get Jordy.
Jordy Nelson almost single-handedly won my season 2 years ago. Yeah. I love Jordy Nelson.
And nobody remembers that. Everybody remembers Dez Bryant and Antonio Brown and like Jeremy Maclin at the Eagles that year.
Yeah, I picked him up early this year, too, because we drafted before the preseason. And as soon as he went down, my fantasy dreams were crushed. I
did the same.
Yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers. I think number 6 is pretty – he's an awesome quarterback, but he's also in one of the most stacked offenses in the league.
It's true. And it's hard to tell how much of that is him and how much of that is – I mean, everybody around him is great. Green Bay – always puts a great team on the field. It seems like they never really have a down year. It sucks.
Exactly.
I would argue he is one of the 3 best players in the league simply because I think this is the 2016 list. And I think going into next year, he's the opposite of Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer just had his career best year. This might be, if Jordy comes back true to form, Aaron Rodgers' best year in the league.
I could definitely see that.
Have you looked at their schedule?
I haven't looked at their schedule.
Green Bay's schedule is not what you would expect from a team that good. Like they play a couple heavyweights and then everybody else is just like, oh, well, I mean, the NFC North is a good division. Sure. I wouldn't say it's a great division, but it's a good division. They play the Vikings twice. The Bears should be like better.
Hopefully.
Detroit's not terrible. They're not good.
Their offense is pretty terrible.
But just, I remember looking through their schedule thinking like, oh my gosh, like Green Bay's going to win 15 games this year. Like, I mean, I'm sure that's probably not going to happen. They're probably going to win 12 or 13, but
they could pull a Panthers of last year. They could go 15-1, 14-2. I think they're going to be really good. I just am not sure how much Aaron Rodgers.
You got to take this with a grain of salt because I thought the Colts were going to be like the league's most high flying offense last year.
I think,
and they were just they just sputtered and died.
I don't think you were the only one saying that. I think a lot of people were high on the Andrew Luck train and.
Well, just all the receivers that they had. I was like, they're still going to be defensively terrible, but they're going to score a ton of points.
Oh yeah.
Green Bay this year, I look at and I'm like, how do they score less than like 30 points a game?
Right? Like
they've got to put up points.
And the thing with Green Bay is they're good on the defensive side. Do they have a top 3 defense? No. Top 10? Yeah, probably.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough to be
Matthews is one
of
my favorite defensive players of all time. So I mean, is he one of the best players of all time? Probably not. But one of my favorites for sure. So
I totally get that.
Yeah. So I think they're pretty good on defense, and they're explosive on offense.
I think 6 is as low as Aaron Rodgers should be on this list. That's the low. I think his ceiling, people could argue he's number 1. Oh, I would say he's in the middle at like 3 or 4.
Okay. I think we can bring that up when we get to that top 3, because I think that's a conversation to have.
Yeah.
But first, we got number 5, Adrian Peterson.
I've always been an AP believer, actually. And it seems too high on this list because he's like 40. And we're going into 2016.
Right.
But all of a sudden, the Vikings are like not even necessarily – last year they were sneaky good. This year they're just pretty good.
Yeah.
So
– the Vikings were the team that I had last year going all the way. And they should have – oh, man. That field goal.
I don't think they would have beaten Carolina or Arizona or Green Bay.
No, but going into the season, and I was like, the Vikings are going to do really well this year. They could go all the way. And then to almost go to their championship.
Yeah.
Would they have won the Super Bowl? No. But
yeah,
they should have gotten closer than they did.
Yeah.
Blair Walsh.
Okay. Blair Walsh, it's his fault. But it's also Adrian Peterson's fault.
Sure.
He shouldn't have fumbled, which means it's also kind of Cam Chancellor's fault for forcing a fumble. But mostly it's Blair Walsh's fault.
Blair Walsh, the only reason he's getting that, they shouldn't have been in that position to start with. They should have won the game before then. But to miss a 27-yard field goal, yes, it was horrendously cold. But you're a Vikings player. You play in Minnesota where it's disgustingly cold year-round. So to use that excuse to not be able to make the clutch 27-yarder.
You know what my theory on this? Huh. This is conspiracy time. Not really conspiracy. Earlier in that game, Richard Sherman was a fingernail away from blocking one of his kicks. He was so close. He came right off the edge. He timed the snap just right. And he was so close to blocking it earlier in the game. Didn't get there.
Okay.
And then that field goal, they did like one of the sports science things on it where they timed like the snap to kick of the earlier kick that was almost blocked. And then the one like Sherman again was kind of like creeping over like he was going to try to block it because it was for the game. So you knew he was going to like almost risk a offsides to get there if he thought he could get away with it.
I mean, it's 27 yards. There's not a huge difference.
He cut like almost like a full second off of the snap to kick timing. And I'm convinced he tried to get it off early to keep it from being blocked.
I could see that. I mean, you almost get one of your kicks blocked. You've got to be worried about that.
I think he was caught up like mentally in that. And
yeah, he's probably looking a little bit over to Richard Sherman, and then that's why he shanked it.
I'm convinced. We'll never know. But
yeah, we'll never know. But it's a good
amazing
theory.
And you can hate the Seahawks all you want, but you got to give them this. The endings of their games in the playoffs are always must-watch, whether you love them or hate them.
Yeah.
You have to watch till the end.
Yeah. Oh man, that should have run it in with Marshawn Lynch.
The Super Bowl, the Green Bay game, the Vikings game, obviously the Carolina game. So everybody says they got blown out in that game. They lost by a touchdown.
Yeah.
It just felt like they got blown out, but they scored every drive in the second half except one, and they lost by six. So, and they were an onside kick away, or they should have just gone for points earlier in the game in the first half. But even that game, like, you kind of had to watch it to the end because you could tell Panthers fans were like, hey, guys, we were up 30, and now that's 2 minutes left, and we're up six. And we watched the Green Bay game last year, and if they do this again, I swear.
Yeah.
So
you've always got to be scared of the Seahawks defense.
Yeah. And likewise, the Green Bay ending against the Cardinals, they were obviously on the wrong end of the final score. But to get it to overtime, Aaron Rodgers threw his second complete Hail Mary of the year to bring this full circle to where we started. Like, it sucks, but even with zeros on the clock, ask any Lions fan, you know, first give them a hug, but ask any Lions, they'll tell you, even with zeros on the clock, until people are heading off the field, Aaron Rodgers can win you a game.
Sure, yeah. And I think that's why he's probably at least six.
Yeah.
But
Sorry, we're on AP.
We
already
on
got
AP,
on AP.
But that's okay.
AP Vikings, I remember now. Yeah, AP's top five player until he retires, basically, because he's...
And what I'm excited about is the Rams running back looks so much like AP to me right now. Like, he's that big player that's just going to run you over.
Please, no.
Hopefully, we don't have to worry about jail time with Todd Gurley, but...
Gosh, could you imagine the Wild West, the NFC West with the defenses of Arizona and Seattle for the next 4 years, the offense, but we don't know really what they have without Beast Mode in Seattle and without Palmer in Arizona, which is going to happen soon. And we don't know how exactly the 49ers rebuilding plan is going, but pretty soon I feel like we're going to have three teams in the division at about the same level defensively and offensively looking to find themselves. And we've got a Russell Wilson here, and we've got a wide receiver group over here that's amazing, and then we've got Todd freaking Gurley,
and hopefully Jared Goff. I'm not super high on him, especially after watching the Cal Utah game last year, and he gave up like six turnovers single-handedly, I think it was. So I have
he's
very
like your Shane
low
Falco.
Expectation.
You never know if he's gonna.
Yeah, but if he shows up and is good, we could. I'm excited for like 3 or 4 years from now, and we could
obviously.
Be
I have to hope for Goff to just be a complete bust.
Of course, of course. But I'm excited. I think Todd Gurley, for one, will be really good. Our defense is looking really good. If we can just get a quarterback, which I've been saying since Mark Bolger, since Kurt Warner left
us. You had
a
real quarterback. You had Kellen Clemens.
Oh, jeez. No, we haven't.
That's for all you Boise fans.
Casey Keenum looks okay. I was honestly, like, really hoping for Nick Foles last year. Yeah. And then, oh, man. Because he looked pretty good in Philadelphia. And then he comes here. And my favorite play is he goes to scramble. And you see him. And it looks like he just, like, throws the ball at the ground. Like, I don't know exactly what happened. But he goes to scramble. And he just, like, throws the ball on the ground, gives it a turnover, and we lose the game.
It's one of those moments where you're like, he's a professional. I'm sure he knew what he was doing. And after the game, he's like, I don't know what that was. Like,
he got paid millions of dollars this year to do that. Yeah, I was very harsh on Nick Foles this year because I was so excited to finally have a good quarterback with quotation marks and just...
A passable, acceptable quarterback. All right, I got till number five on my phone, but you're going to have to tell me who number four is.
Right. Number four is Antonio Brown, the other wide receiver that wrecked me in fantasy football.
That makes sense, because ahead of him, you can see the reasons why the people ahead of him are there.
Right.
But everybody agrees pretty much that, like, he just had, like, the best season of any receiver, so we obviously have to vote him ahead of the other receivers.
Right.
Therefore, yeah. So I can see the logic.
And Antonio Brown is one of those players that can win a game single-handedly, even he can pull the Larry Fitzgerald magic. You give him the ball and he'll somehow end up in the end zone. He's
not immune to being shut down by any means. Right. When he plays against good defenses, sometimes he doesn't disappear, but he doesn't exactly just find the end zone no matter what every play. But no receiver does. And yeah, if you were to give any team in the league a choice, like, you get to choose one receiver to just add to your team, I think the majority would either look Antonio Brown's way or Odell Beckham Jr.'s way.
Of course. So, yeah, which is why they are where they are, except for Julio Jones. Maybe, yeah. The more and more I look at it, I don't like Julio Jones at 8. I think when I first saw him, I was like, okay, like, I can see it.
Yeah, it's weird to me. Like, it's weird to me.
I don't know.
You have to find a way to fit all those top tier receivers into the top 20 because they're the playmakers. They score the points.
They're the reason you win most of the time.
But yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
But I do really like Antonio Brown. I like the Steelers in general. Their offense is looking pretty good with Roethlisberger. If Le'Veon Bell can stay healthy, they have Antonio Brown. They have some sophomore wide receivers that are coming out that are looking really good. I'm blanking on names. But they should be a force to be reckoned with on the offensive side. Their defensive side, not as much. But anyways. All right, number three, who was number one last year, J.J. Watt.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're grading everything on a scale where we're holding everybody to, like, the absolute highest standard because we're talking some of the best athletes in the world, and especially now we're in the top three. You could argue J.J.'s number one. You could argue he's number 10. You probably shouldn't argue that he belongs outside the top 10. But using the scenario I just described, but excluding quarterbacks, I think if you ask any team in the league, like, you get one player, no quarterback takes these, though. Everybody's quarterback stays the same. You get one player. I don't know a lot of people that wouldn't be like our defense is stacked. Let's add J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Our defense is terrible. Let's add J.J. Watt. Like, we really need some wide receivers, but we're going to take J.J. Watt. Like,
yeah, exactly. And the thing about J.J. Watt is you hear all of these teams, like, we spent all week preparing for J.J. Watt, and he still tore us a new one.
Well, the whole division drafts to try and make up for J.J. Watt.
Yeah, he's...
Like, he impacts other organizations' long-term futures the way Michael Vick did. Like, when Mike Vick was at the Falcons, like, everybody was trying to draft spy defensive players that could play the position well to make up for the fact that they had to go against him twice a year.
Yeah, and J.J. If J.J. Watt's numbers don't look quite as good as you'd hope from a top three player, it would only be because they prepared all week just for him. They're like, we'll figure out the offense on the fly. We got to prepare for J.J. Watt, or we're not going to get offensive.
If you ever watch a Texans game, and I've probably seen one in, like, the last 2 years, But I happen to know from just from talking to people and watching tape and highlights and stuff, right, that guy gets held more than anybody in the league because otherwise it's just kind of not fair. Again, yeah, this is why I draw the Gronk comparisons, because Gronk probably gets nailed for like offensive pass interference more than anyone,
right,
because refs are watching like, that's a big man, we got to make sure he's not breaking the rules. I think JJ Watt gets held. I mean, everyone gets held every play, but like, it's blatant with JJ, and right, people never call it because they're never going to be like, hey, you grabbed JJ's jersey. You can't do that, because otherwise the quarterback is going to be mush by the end of the game.
Yeah.
So.
And that's honestly why I think quarterbacks go down so far. They just get hit that quota of J.J. Watt games, and they're like, my body can't take any more hits from J.J. Watt. I got to retire.
Poor rookie quarterbacks in that division.
Oh, man.
Like, you don't want any piece of that.
Yeah. Can you imagine, though, if J.J. Watt was on the other side of any Texans game, though, with the quarterbacks they had this year? It would have looked bad. They would, because honestly, J.J. Watt was probably the only reason they made it to the playoffs with 9-7. Yeah. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins helped. Arian Foster would have helped if he could have stayed
the
healthy.
The Colts falling apart helped.
That definitely helped. Yeah. Oh, man.
The Titans and Jags obviously not being ready for anything in the next year or two still. But yeah.
Yeah. J.J. Watt is a single. Plus, he had like 3 or 4 touchdowns at tight end last year.
If anybody's got a shot at winning MVP as a defensive player, it's JJ. Because he's got his name out there. He's got a brand. He's been good for a long, long time. He's going to break all kinds of sack records. He's probably got the best shot of anybody.
Yeah. It comes down to, like, how much he prepares. Like, if you look at his workouts, they're insane. Like, how much he prepares. Like, a lot of teams go, like, easy in defense, like, in practice. And you see JJ Watt just smearing the quarterback, like, every play in practice. And they're just like, I'm coming at you hard. Like,
JJ, could you not? We're trying to practice.
Yeah.
We're trying to get things done.
But, all right. Number 2, I hate him so much, but I respect him so much. Tom Brady.
Yeah. I mean, think about who's voting. A bunch of players who probably either, like, spent their high school and college years watching him play, or have played against him and just realized what a great competitor he is. He's right. Like, I feel like every player likes winners. Like, if you look at a lot of, like, athletes, even, like, here at Utah State, like, if you talk to, like, college athletes here, right, like, our football players, all their favorite teams or players are guys who win. Like, those are the people they look up to. So I think today's NFL, like, they let the rivalries be for the fans, and they look up to Tom Brady because he's a winner.
Yeah.
He wins Super Bowls. If you play with him, you get to also win Super Bowls. It's tough to argue with that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's been consistently good since he entered the league. Yes, his offense is stacked. However, I think he could be one of those quarterbacks that could make his team look good if he had no offensive sides. Like, if you had Tom Brady...
He's throwing to Brandon LaFell sometimes.
Yeah.
No one wants that for their quarterback.
I mean, one of his best player, like, wide receivers is Julian Edelman, and I think he's, like, 80th on this list or something. Like, yes, Edelman's good, but...
He's not Randy Moss.
No, he's no he's. I pick him up on my fantasy teams because he just gets those touchdowns.
The days of Brady and like the star receiver guy are long past, and Brady has still had the Patriots in there every year. Granted, again, he plays in trash division, and they've got the best coach the NFL's ever seen.
Right.
He's got a lot of things going for him that a lot of quarterbacks never will, but he makes the most of the people around him, and it's tough to. How do you say, until he starts showing signs of regression, you can't pull him out of the top couple in the NFL because of who he is?
Yeah, he's just that good.
It sucks. I hate it. Like,
yeah, well, I think most anybody hates the Patriots except for Patriots fans. And even them, some of them just hate the team. They're just like, I like to be a fan of a team that wins.
I mean, some people are like, okay, we've probably got like one more year of good Tom Brady, and then the Patriots are just going to fall apart. It's like, first of all, their organization is too good to let that happen. They're not going to completely fall apart.
Right.
But we're probably looking at 2 or 3 more seasons of like good Tom Brady
before
we get bad and terrible Tom Brady. Like, we got terrible Peyton Manning this last year.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's fair.
2 or 3 more seasons.
Which is incredible at this point.
That's I hate thinking of it because the AFC is so dumb. Yeah. I hate it.
It's the reason that I dislike, like, it's almost the same as the Spurs in the NBA. I hate the Spurs because they're so consistently good. You're just like, oh, are the Spurs going to suck this year? No. They picked up some rookie in the sixth or the third round.
Turns out he's Kawhi Leonard, and he's like borderline MVP.
Yeah, just, oh, man. Anyways, number one, couldn't see anyone else at number one, Cam Newton.
Yeah. So about that thing we discussed where players buy into narratives, there's no stat you could show me that tells me Cam Newton is the best player in the NFL.
No.
The best. Like, he won an MVP this year. Because they went 15-1. Everyone thought they were going to go undefeated. Everyone was on the hype train. Like, MVP doesn't mean as much as I think people think it means.
Yeah.
It means who's the player that defines this NFL season.
Yeah.
Which is why usually it's a quarterback.
Yeah. One of the things we talked about last week with... I just lost my train of thought. That we talked about with teams that deserve to go to the playoffs is you have to win the games you need to win in order to get there. Cam Newton didn't win the game he needed to win to get the Super Bowl, and not only that, he looked awful in that game.
He did, and I'll give him this. At the beginning of the season, I didn't think the Carolina Panthers were going to be all that great because I always questioned Cam's accuracy as a passer.
Right.
He showed that he can step that up. And that's probably the number one thing that's tough for a quarterback to improve once he's already in the NFL to all of a sudden be a more accurate passer than you've been in the last couple years of playing. Usually that's something you either have or you don't by then. He improved. He got better. The team went 15-1. They probably should have beat the Falcons. they probably should have won the Super Bowl, but they didn't. But he's the player that defined the last season.
Right.
But he's not the player that will define next season. And honestly, I think Von Miller defined how last season ended, and I don't know a lot of people that would argue with that.
Yeah, if you look at the regular season, it makes sense to put Cam Newton at number one. But I think after that Super Bowl, I have a hard time saying that he was the best player in the NFL when he couldn't lead his team over a team with no offense.
Yeah, well, and if they vote on these, let's say in December, everything was looking like Cam Newton and the Panthers are going to win the Super Bowl unless somebody stops him, and nobody knows who that's going to be.
Definitely didn't think it would be the Broncos.
No. So... I get why he's number one, but I don't like it's such a weird telling me teams going into 2016 would rather have him over JJ or over Tom or over Rodgers or over Miller. Everyone down to most of the guys in the top 15, you could argue actually we've already got a quarterback. What we need is this. And the guy who's the number one best player in the NFL should be undisputed. Any team would just snatch him up immediately.
Right. I think most teams would take Tom Brady at this point, unless you have like of Aaron Rodgers.
Right. If it was for 1 year and you weren't thinking about future,
right?
He's going to be good for years to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a weird. I feel like players again, just they love winners, and they see Cam Newton and they're like, he's tearing it up. He's going to be the MVP. He's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And they're the players, so obviously their opinion matters. But watching it, and not just from a statistical standpoint or an eye test standpoint or even a biased Seahawks fan standpoint, I don't think Cam Newton was the number one best player in the league. Even though I know that's what MVP is supposed to mean, I don't think that's usually what it means. It's usually a popularity thing.
Yeah, yeah, the person they like to watch the most or who's the most exciting to watch is usually. But I think going back to Von Miller, you put the player that humiliated your number one player at 15. The number one player you have in the NFL got humiliated by Von Miller, and you're like, he deserves a 15th spot. Let's put Cam Newton at number one, though. So I'm really curious. I'm going to try and figure out when they did these rankings, because if it's at the end of the season, the rankings don't make as much sense to me.
Yeah.
But, if you did these, maybe even in December.
Yeah.
They can make sense, I guess.
And a special note on how he handled losing the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I won't argue that he doesn't have the right to handle it however he wants. He's his own person. It's like Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. He's got every right to do that. It's his career.
Right.
He can do whatever he wants. But as a fan, I have every right to be ticked about him being a sore loser when he's such a cocky winner the rest of the season. And, I don't think it's wrong to kind of celebrate him being so sour after just being so showboaty the rest of the year.
And I think the number one player in the league should be able to handle defeat. If you're that good of a player and you get bested, you probably should be okay. Okay, they were better than us. We should have lost.
I hate Tom Brady, but you would never in a million years see Tom Brady just like, you know what? I'm out.
Yeah,
like, you guys don't respect me. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Cam Newton at number one is the one that I probably have the biggest issue with, actually, looking at it.
I think he and Norman are actually my two most overrated.
And so it makes sense if this is like at the end of the season or even in December that these two Panthers players are higher than they should be, especially looking at it now. But I guess what can you do, players? I don't know. Maybe there's something the players know that I don't. Maybe Josh Norman is that good, but he didn't show it. Maybe people just really like Josh Norman, like he's a nice guy, and well, and he's on a winning team, and he's had some pretty good plays. So.
I want the NFL to have a little more fun with this and just all collectively decide on one guy that is like the league's, like, just the coolest guy that everyone, like, they can't help but love, even if he plays for like another team. Like, he's just the nicest dude.
Yeah.
Like I hope it's like Steven Hauschka. And they all just agree, like, you know what? I love that guy. And, like, everybody, like, makes their votes. And then for, like, the number 20 spot, they just put, like, a kicker. They're just like, because he's...
We just love
who
him.
Who are you to say he's not? Steven Gostkowski scored more points last year than most of the receivers.
Yeah, Steven Gostkowski is one of the only kickers I've seen go in, like, the first three rounds, which is still too early, don't get me wrong. But...
I say if you're picking guys for your bench... May as well spend a pick on some guy who's going to play every week.
That's fair.
We're going to do a fantasy cast someday soon. I can tell this is going to be a good thing.
I will invite you to that fantasy cast because my other host didn't get into fantasy as much as last year and, in fact, neglected his roster half of the year. So
one of those guys.
Yes. Okay. So I would love to have somebody who actually, like, played fantasy last year.
Playing guys on their bye weeks.
And I think we're actually going to have a radio host... fantasy football league thing too.
Let's do it.
So I think Ethan's gonna set that up, but it looks like we're at the end of the show. So like always, follow us at @competitiveUSU. Check out our show at radio.usu.edu, and we'll see you next week at Tuesday at 5:00.